Hey, welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. We are so glad that you are here with us today. Special episode as we are, well, celebrating. It's a holiday.
Is it?
The National Coffee Day.
National Coffee Day.
And, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur of coffee per se, but I do enjoy coffee.
I do too.
And you do as well.
It's funny because I used to like the sugar stuff. That's mm-hmm. how I got in was right. like the $4,
yes.
Frappuccino mm-hmm. thingy, yeah. you know, and I liked a little bit of coffee with my cream. Yeah.
That's, you know? That was the same way.
Yeah.
Same
and way. And then it was like, you know, slowly,
yeah.
You know,
it's the acquired taste.
You know what? It's funny because there was a period of time a lot of the pastors on staff here were doing a coffee club and they were getting into like the, you know, yeah. they were like, it was like chemistry more than yeah. it was coffee making. Yeah. You know, they yeah. were weighing the beans. They were, you know, had mm-hmm. little temperature mm-hmm. gauges and, yep. You know, the pour over thing. There was like this whole thing yeah. and then pinkies so, up.
I'm drinking my pour over.
Yeah. And you got the Sandlot there on there. Yeah. It's awesome.
And you have a rock church mug.
Yeah. You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
But yeah. And then, you know, it's funny because there were some coffees that I liked.
Yeah.
Other ones that I was like, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, this morning I made coffee.
Yeah.
And I got a bag. I like an Ethiopian blend.
Yes.
I like the floral notes. Right. Yeah. I do like, some people say it's sour, but even that I kind of enjoy, yeah. Yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is that this coffee had strawberry, hibiscus, ooh. Apricot notes.
Wow.
And I've tried it hot. I've tried it with the creamer. I've tried it now. This morning I tried it iced. And I'm drinking it. I'm like, I don't know if I like this, you know? Mm. And I'm sitting there going, man, what's going on? And I'd forgotten the notes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so,
oh,
you know, nice. It was like, yeah. I was like, I don't know if I like this or not. So I went back to the bag. I looked at it and I saw strawberry,
yeah.
hibiscus, especially.
Yeah.
I took another sip and bang, it was like yeah. strawberry lit up in my mouth.
Oh, wow.
And then it finished with hibiscus.
Yeah.
And from that point on, it was like the fact that I knew I'm drinking a strawberry drink.
Yeah.
I was okay.
Yeah.
But before yeah. that, it was bugging me. I was like, I don't yeah. know if I like this, you right. know? But once I knew.
Yeah, you felt it.
But in some ways, I want my coffee to taste like coffee.
You know, there is, because there's, depending on the region of the world,
yeah.
it's either nutty or chocolatey or floral, yeah. right? And I know it is something like, why does this taste like earth or ground?
There is some coffee that tastes like dirt.
Right. Literal dirt.
Literal,
right?
yeah.
Oh, these seeds were just picked.
If I wanted that, I would have licked the ground.
But I, you know, there is like a sense of, I do like the richness of stuff.
Yeah.
And but the thing is I've had you prepare my coffee. You like just straight espresso.
Oh yeah.
Right? You can drink. So like, I like, you know, the traditional, I'll make a Chemex, right? And it's funny that you say that it's like chemistry. It's mm-hmm. called a Chemex. It's
yeah.
like, you know, you bring this thing for a pour over and it's coffee beans ground, but espresso is an extract, so it's just
absolutely
concentrated coffee, caffeine, and that's a little bit too strong for me.
Too strong?
I would say it's a little bit bold.
It is bold, yeah.
So speaking of bold, we're gonna segue.
You like ooh, that? I did like it. Yes,
we're talking on a topic of, and again, happy coffee day to you. Depending when you're, even if it's not coffee day when you're watching this, pour some out for us.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about coffee.
This is actually water, but right. I'll pretend
you've
like
had
it's
your
my
cup. You've had
I had
your,
my cup. Yeah, I'm a one-a-day guy.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
And in the morning, too, right? There's
yeah, no, afternoon, I'll be up all night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do any coffee, tea, Coca-Cola, no caffeine.
Not even tea. Coke.
If it's decaf or if it's, you know, very light.
Because you'll feel it in the evening time.
I'll be up.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
I'll be up, yeah.
But we are going to be talking specifically about a boldness. Pastor
yeah.
Dan, I know we were talking off camera a little bit before, because we're here at the Rock Church and we're Outreach Center, depending on where you're watching from, welcome. We are experiencing some really cool things in our church services,
yeah.
In and around our services as well, just in conversations and things that are going on. And that cool thing is just the sense of receptivity to the gospel,
sure.
people getting really excited about their faith, about sharing their faith. But I realize if we're not careful, we can really get isolated into a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
right? Our social media algorithms can make us feel like, oh my gosh, all these amazing things are going on, which they are, and it's cool to talk about those things, but that's not always everyone's reality. And even such, maybe those of you watching right now, where you're like, yeah, you have a good time when you come to church.
Yeah.
You're consistent with your Bible reading, with what you're listening to, worship music, and getting your spirit, but you're doing that because you know, when you go home or when you go to work or in the spheres that you move in, it's not always that way.
Sure.
And so what I wanted to have a conversation about today was how do we, first of all, stay encouraged in staying bold and remaining bold, right? Yeah. Like keeping that fire on the inside of us. How do we consistently, like the scripture will say, fan the flame that is within us, which the fact that the scripture points it out shows us that we can see that we need to fan the flame, that we can get discouraged, that we can find ourselves feeling exhausted. And so let's have that chat, Pastor Dan, so that we can encourage others and encourage ourselves, stir ourselves up in the same way.
Well, you know, one of the things I think about is that, you know, we talked about coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between coffee and espresso, right? And I believe the Rock Church has always been the espresso of the church world. We've always been on that side of boldness.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that when you come in, you get a concentrated dose of the truth of God's word. And, you know, we had billboards that had the bull with the circle and the slash written, no bull, only the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, we've always been a bold church, always been very expressive. And we've taken heat for that. You know, there's been emails, there's been protesters, there's been all those types of things. Yeah. Haters online. I mean, recently we had to contact one of the major online people because they were naming people in our church that were minors. Right. And so, you know, obviously when you're doing the right thing, it's going to stir up the demonic and things like that. And we're headed into this last quarter. It's a time where there's a lot of spiritual attack, a lot of demonic things are going on. And I don't know that people really understand how much our natural lives are hindered and affected by the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we live such natural lives. We live such lives where we're concerned about our mortgage payment. We're concerned about paying the bills or getting the kids to school on time, making sure that lunches are ready. We're concerned about how we're dressed or how we look, or we're concerned about how people view us online. And there's so many things that we're concerned about in the natural that we miss out on what spiritually is taking place.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we're so bold and so concentrated at The Rock with the truth that we express, is because we want to make sure that people have enough in them so that when the world and when the pressures hit people, whether they're natural or spiritual, right?
Yeah.
Because there are natural pressures. Not everything is spiritual. You know, you don't need to cast the demon out of the doorknob that hits you when you walk through the door. You know, not everything's the devil, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want people to have enough in them to be able to be wise enough to discern, and then to be able to express what God would want them to in the midst of that situation. So case in point, right? You know, here they are, they come in, they get filled up, they're, you know, excited about the world and about what's going on. They get out of here and, you know, they get bad news. It's going to be hard. And and there's going to be people that, especially with bad news, it can come in many forms. You know, the death of a loved one, that oftentimes brings families together in certain ways. But the crazy thing is with death, like, it brings the worst out.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you mix in, okay, well, part of my family's saved and part of it's not, or most of it's not, you know, now all of a sudden you've got ungodly attitudes that are in the mix there too.
Yeah.
And so people trying to be bold in the midst of a sensitive situation oftentimes will shrink back from what they know and from what they should do or should say because they just want to keep peace, you know? And the other things that can happen too, like another scenario, let's say at the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, inflation's hit. We're going to be laying people off and the rest of you are going to have to pick up the slack if you want to keep your job, you know? Again, bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole group around you, right? There's pressure now to complain, to have a bad attitude, to speak evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look for another job, but I need this job, so I'm going to keep it, but I don't have the right attitude here, you know?
Yeah.
And we're surrounded by a current that's pressing against us.
Yeah.
And whereas we should be bold and say, hey, guys, we should be thankful that we have a job.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's work hard, because if we do, then guess what? God will take care of us.
Yeah.
All the things that we know that's on the inside of us. And yet, because, oh, well, you know, they all have a bad attitude and they're not believers, so they don't know what I know, I'll just quietly move along and not say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and we could go in a number of different scenarios. I mean, I went to a restaurant the other week, and they had it all decorated with demons and everything, all kind of stuff. I mean, as you walk in the place, you're greeted by this hunched over thing with its face all distorted and all that, and it's moving.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like either leaving, number one,
right,
or number two, talking to the management and saying, do you really agree with all this? Right. You know, like, do you know what this is?
Yeah.
And yet we just went and sat down, had our meal, and left without saying a word to anybody.
Well, I wonder, you know, there sometimes seems to be a sweeping sense of ignorance or rejection of something like that, like a willful ignorance or just out of not knowing better, right? Because it seems like more and more, there's more and more houses that like in our neighborhood, like you never used to decorate for Halloween, but it's in all the stores and it just becomes, and there's the ignorance of, well, it's just, it's innocent fun. It's just, it's a theme. It's a festive holiday. And again, not to make everything about the demonic aspects, but I think to the bigger point is there's a distinction as believers that we are going to become more rare, meaning that's
true.
What's on the inside of us is not going to be maybe at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to think like, hey, with the receptivity, with the movement, there's going to be more believers. But I think the scripture talks about how it's kind of going to be, there's more adverseness to what the message that we have on the inside of us. And so I wonder, Pastor Dan, and I think, you know, it's, there are no coincidences as we go line upon line in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And the series that we're in right now on our Sunday morning services, one of my big takeaways, again, the series is about conquering the flesh, overcoming the flesh. My big takeaways was really the last point you had talked about was how we have to substitute the lies that we're getting and replace it.
Yeah,
right? I heard one person talk about, as this business leader, and they're talking about, hey, you have this bad habit of maybe in your speech, right? So in this example, he's like, oh, you say a lot of likes and ums. And so all you have to do is, that's a habit, right? Because that's this habit that you've garnered, or you got it somehow. So the guy asked him, so was that, well, how do you do that? How do you replace that? Well, it's a habit. You identify it. Well, you got to do, remove that habit. To do that, you replace it with a new habit.
Mm.
So in other words, here's the negative thoughts. Here's the lies. Well, what I have to do is not just take all the lies. If you just try to remove it by conquering the lie, like, no, here we have this solution. And even the Bible talks about that.
Yeah.
Cast down everything and replace it with the truth, right?
Yes.
So here we go. I'm going to cast out this lie. There's this lie that even sometimes our coworkers, our friends, or our flesh is going to tell us, you deserve better. You shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
This is not what you need to have. And so here are these lies that would try to come in. You need to complain. You need to do this. But now we have to replace it with the truth or God's scripture, how you talked about in the message.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, we talked about spiritual things, you know, and I think that if we can stay tender and open to the Spirit's promptings,
mm-hmm.
that there may be a time to speak and there may be a time to hold back, you know, like we said, let's go back to the scenario, the person that's in their family, there's just been a death. People are coming together. They may not have ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit might just say, just be present.
Yeah.
Just love them, right? And your boldness might be, man, I've never really done anything for this person, but God's asking me to love them, so I'm going to serve them with an act of kindness, and it's going to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And when they ask me why I'm doing this, I mean, what's my response going to be? Because I just want to show you the love of God. You know, what is that going to be at that time? What does that boldness look like? It may look different than it does in the workplace, or, you know, when somebody's got questions and they're searching, you know, there's a tremendous door of opportunity open right now in our nation, and people are more spiritually sensitive. People are questioning. People are seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And Bible sales are up. Church attendance is up. You know, salvation numbers are up. Baptism numbers are up. It's great. It's a beautiful time. With that, there's going to be a lot of resistance, though.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's where people don't understand those things. My daughter's currently at a university, and she just ministered last week at a chapel service. And just yesterday, we got a call that she was working, and she works with kids and that sort of a thing. And so she's out on the playground. She had a mishap and stepped on a ball and ended up fracturing a bone in her foot.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of one of those weird, just kind of odd, you know, like what is going on there? And what's crazy is she goes to the doctors. She's okay. You know, she's going to be just fine. God's got this, you know. And so we're just like, okay, you know, hey, don't let the devil trip you up with this. It might have been a natural thing.
No pun intended.
No, don't let the devil snare you in this situation with something so natural. Well, what's crazy is, you know, sometimes people are like, well, you think the devil did that to your daughter, this and that. What's wild is at 2 a.m., my daughter got a text from one of her other chaplains that works on the spiritual formation department with her at the university, and says, hey, Mia, we're twinning, you know, like she was in the hospital with a leg injury the same day, and she's supposed to be ministering the next day. And it's like, what?
Right.
Right. So, okay, once is a mishap. Twice, yeah. Is that a coincidence? You know? And I think we need to realize there's going to be resistance, spiritual resistance, and things that take place.
Yeah.
Crazy story.
Let's go.
You ready for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, let's go.
Pastor Jim and Deborah used to tell this story when they'd minister, and I've heard the story numerous times. They were taking a walk one time, and the church was growing. They were concerned about what was happening, and with the growth came pressures and stressors and all that kind of stuff, and demonic attacks. Mm-hmm. People came against their character. There was stuff in the newspapers about them, all that kind of stuff. And so as they're walking along, Jim talked about how he just had the weight of the world on his shoulder. And so they're taking this walk, and Deborah decided, I'm going to, you know, just play with my husband and just lighten him up, you know. She takes a little teeny tiny pebble, and she just throws it at him to, like, just kind of hit him and just kind of laugh, like, ha-ha, I got you, you know. That pebble came down, and it hit him in the back of the leg, and he literally went to his knees.
Oh, wow.
It hurt him so bad. He fell down to his knees and just was in such excruciating pain. And she was like, Jim, what's going on? You know, and she ran over to him and he's like, what did you do? That hurt so bad. Yeah. And she's like, she picked it up off the ground. I threw this at you because I was playing with you. I meant to hit you like in the back or something, right. You know, not put you to your knees. Yeah. And they looked at it and they said, God, what is this? They realized there was a demonic attack against them at that moment. Mm. And something so small, something so insignificant, brought him down to his knees, and they prayed, they rebuked the attack of the enemy at that moment, and they were able to press on and press through.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of us, there's little things
come on,
that want to hinder our boldness.
Right.
It's a little look from somebody on the job when we start to go down a path of thought, and just their look, that little pebble, right?
Yeah.
Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right?
Yeah.
It's not the big thing. Oftentimes, the devil doesn't come in with a massive attack. You know, we think about persecution as we see in other parts of the planet where the government's coming in, or there's people dragging people out, or things like that.
Yeah.
And then we think persecution can come in many ways, and it can oftentimes when the devil is trying to hinder us and stop us, it's, especially in our land, little things. It's the person that says, I know you, don't preach at me.
Right.
I changed your diapers when you were little, or you know, we used to roll together, and now you want to act like this. Mm-hmm. Don't preach at me, you know, and we stop our boldness.
Yeah.
It could be the trolls online.
Right.
You know, we started down a path and people started to say something, and because we were afraid that we'd lose followers or likes, or we don't want to ruffle feathers, or we bought into this worldly idea that everyone has to agree.
Well, so let me ask you this, because a question comes to mind. And you're talking about the different examples you shared. Where does boldness and wisdom come together? Meaning, and I think because you mentioned this.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there's not always ears to hear. Is boldness always speaking loudly? Can boldness sometimes be having the boldness to read the room or know a situation and even shut your mouth? Not in like, I'm not going to say the truth, but my boldness coupled with wisdom understands when and where. Because what I could imagine happening, well, I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to tell the truth and I'm going to whatever they need. And then I got fired and it's because the devil's attacking.
Yeah,
he's like, no, because you weren't operating in wisdom.
Right.
We understand. God gives us both. There's a boldness on the inside of us that is truth. But boldness is not always just yelling at the top of our lungs.
No,
right?
No,
sometimes
absolutely
boldness
not.
Is understanding when to speak, when not to speak.
I think that, you know, obviously when we're talking about working, if you're getting paid to do something, do that.
All right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're getting paid to do that. So you should be doing that. The workman is deserving of his wage. If you want to get paid, do what your employer tells you to do while you're on the job, as long as it's not sin.
Yeah.
Right. If they tell you to go outside and pick daisies, go pick daisies. If they tell you to do reports, do reports. If they tell you to clean, clean. You know, that's not my job. I'm not paid to do that. No, if your boss asks you to do it, even though you might be an office worker, if they ask you to clean up the bathroom, go clean it up.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting paid. And by the way, if you're an office worker and you're going to the bathroom, you're probably making a better wage than you would have if you were doing that work, you know?
Right.
So that's where sometimes we get it wrong. And as Christians, when we're on the job, the time to speak up is not during your work hours.
Yeah.
It's when you're on your lunch hour and you've got your Bible open and someone says, hey, what are you reading?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's after work when you're walking out together and someone says, hey, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah.
Those are the moments of boldness. And boldness can be that I'm going to church. Would you like to come with me? Yeah. Right? Because the flesh says, oh gosh, I'm freaking out right now. I don't want to do this. You know, the flesh will say, well, I don't want to bring my Bible to work. I want to sit on my phone and play a game and just turn my brain off, you know? Boldness can look like tons of things other than shouting, you know?
Because I think of an introverted person. Maybe being as vocal isn't as natural to them. And they see someone who is maybe extroverted and, well, I'm not bold. I'm not like them. But they can be bold. What does that look like?
So I think a great example is Daniel in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. Here there was an edict that went out that no one should pray to any other god.
Right.
And Daniel, what does he do? He opens his windows and his doors and he bows down and prays like he always had.
Yeah.
Consistency can be boldness.
Yes, that's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where maybe, you know, introverted people that are afraid of talking or afraid of confrontation or whatever that is. Hey, listen, number one, we're never given permission to fear. Okay. So be prepared to speak and realize that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in that moment. You don't have to premeditate or have all the right words. Rest in Him and in His promptings. He'll not only prompt you, He'll fill your mouth as you open it up.
Yeah.
He'll give you the responses that you need. But boldness doesn't always look like words. Boldness can look like actions. Mm-hmm. It can look like consistency, like we said. It can look like doing what's right when everyone else is doing what's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like if people on the job or in your family conspired to do something that you recognize and realize is wrong, you know, like we're going to all shun this one person.
Yeah.
We don't like them. We're not talking to them. They're off on their own. And you just go and you sit with them at lunch or you say, hey, I'm not going to cut them off. I'm going to reach out to them and ask them how they're doing. You know, that's where boldness can look different. And you don't have to broadcast, hey, everybody, I'm going to go do this. You know, it's just you go and do that. And then when they find out, well, why are you doing that? We all thought, I never agreed to that. Right. You know, and I'm going to do what God told me to do, regardless of what you all are doing. You guys can do whatever you want to do. I'm not mad at you, but I'm going to do what God told me to do. Those actions speak very loudly. Mm-hmm. If we're consistent in them, you know, and if it's consistent with our faith. And I think that's where, you know, we can see that no matter if it's, you know, pressure from this world, if it's just things that happen, if it's pressure from people, which it will come, right? There is persecution that comes. People will try and stop the message. And it will get increasingly, and even in our land, we've already seen this, it's going to get increasingly more and more. Even though there's tremendous doors opening and there's great moments that we're excited about, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. At the same time, we're going to see greater measures of persecution and greater things that are taking place. We've already seen the rise of that, you know. And in other nations, I mean, Nigeria, people are talking about it right now. Finally, I'm glad that it's getting out, that over the past 10 years, I believe it's some 100,000. You know, there's different numbers out there for different periods of time. But, you know, I think just this year alone, I heard a stat saying that when you take a look at the number of people killed for their faith in the past year versus this year, it's doubled.
Wow.
Worldwide.
And the year's not even over.
Year's not over. So we'll see where we land. We need to wake up.
Yeah.
We need to understand now is the time to be bold.
Yeah.
Now is the time to live our faith. Now is the time to speak up.
Yeah.
Now is the time to get over ourselves. Introvert, extrovert, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's time. It's high time. People are out there that need what we have. And how do you shine the light?
Yeah.
Other than being the light, number one, right, with your actions. And number two, by speaking the word of life, which Jesus said, your words are life and they are light, right? It's just an amazing thing that when we declare the word of God, the light of the gospel shines forth, right? It illuminates. And, you know, I've had people that worked in secular business and things like that, wove biblical principles into what they were doing in the natural, whether it was leadership, whether it was development or training, teaching, all that kind of stuff. They wove the biblical things in and they saw tremendous success.
Yeah.
They didn't put the scripture reference.
Right.
They just put things like the golden rule, do unto others, you know, as you would have them do to you, which the world accepts.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? That golden rule is all over the world. Right. And we've got chapter and verse. We know that our Lord spoke it to us, but people have adapted it and adopted it. Those are things that we can easily weave into our practices, you know, and shine the light in ways that people may not say, oh, that's wrong because it's you're doing your Christian faith thing. You can't bring religion in here, but it's just living out who we are.
Well, I can imagine, you know, my wife works in public education,
and
there's many people in public spaces where there are certain rules that forbid certain language or certain action.
Yeah.
Right. But how can those people be bold? There's bold. So it's not like I have to break the rules of my employer. there's still a boldness. You know, she could pray over her children. No one's stopping her from being able to pray over her children before. And then the atmosphere, again, not just a classroom, but anyone that is working in these spaces where there are these rules, there are, you can work within the parameters and still be bold.
Yeah.
Right. The language we use, how we carry ourselves.
Sure.
You know, going back to what you were saying, a scripture just came to mind, is what does it profit someone to gain the world and lose their soul? And so I think of, you know, we're trying to attain all these things. You're talking about being bold in these times.
Yeah.
And what would it profit us that we do everything to garner earthly fame, earthly wealth, earthly whatever.
Attention. Yeah.
And then really lose our soul. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called to have a following. Jesus's following came from his telling the truth. And then he lost a lot of people. And who was there when it was all said and done?
Yeah.
Right. So if you want to look at either success rates or like, we're not here to try to garner a certain percentage and use the wrong metrics.
Right.
We have to be faithful. Right. Well, how do I count you faithful? Will we be counted good and faithful?
Servant? Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that definition, I love the way that John Bevere talks about that. There's that multiplication aspect of our faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That when we put something in the ground, does something come out of that?
Right.
And so even our boldness sometimes isn't have a multiplication because you're so harsh in the way that you communicate in the name of being bold. Is there a faithfulness attached to what you're doing?
Absolutely. Because if you faithfully are bold in your consistent actions and character and that sort of a thing, I've seen this with people. You know, one of our members works for the railroad and they were able to just live their life and coming into that environment. There's a lot of hazing for the new guys, you know, and that sort of a thing. And they started with being a conductor and just kind of doing that for a while. And then they eventually, applied for management. Yeah. And over the years, the people that persecuted him the worst, the people that talked the ugliest about him, he didn't rail at them. He just continued to live his faith. People knew what he was about. People knew he was going to church. He didn't broadcast it. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm going to church.
Right.
You know, like, it's not a big conversation. Right. It's not like on a soapbox yelling at everybody,
It's because he's at work and he's doing his job.
He's doing his job, yeah. And so they were mad at him because he's doing a good job. Well, the very people that were the worst to him, when they went through hard times, came to him and were like, hey, can you pray for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why? Because consistency over time.
Yeah.
Because love, right? Bold love speaks loudly. Bold faithfulness speaks loudly. Bold character.
Yeah.
I am who I am by the grace of God. I know that God has saved me, right? When you're bold like that, it doesn't have to be shouting in anger and, I'm bold. No, it's just the potency of what's on the inside of you. You know, we're talking about the espresso drink. It's not very big.
That's right.
You know, a shot is small.
Packs a big punch.
I do like a double shot.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so small, and yet it packs a lot. It's like dynamite, right? Yep. Dynamite comes in small packages. Yep. It may be unassuming. It may not look like much. Mm-hmm. But those words that we use are powerful words. Faithfulness, character, integrity.
Yeah.
Those are things that the world sits up and takes notice of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when they see those things in us, it's going to speak louder than sometimes even our words can, right? But then you pair up the words with it, right?
Yeah.
I heard it said, preach the gospel everywhere you go, and if necessary, use words. Well, it's necessary. You got to use words, right? Because how will they believe without a preacher? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to use words.
Yeah.
But at the same time, preach the gospel everywhere you go and all that you do. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
Can you say the way that you're taking care of your home, your family, your finances, your kids, stewarding your life, your job, your business, even your recreation and your time away or off, would you be able to say, I've done all that boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, Pastor Dan, in kind of landing the plane and closing, if you could just maybe give us a couple of practical pointers of doing that. Maybe someone's feeling discouraged or they feel bold, but they want to get over that hump to keep going. What are some practical things that we can do in our faith, some disciplines, some habits, if you will, that we can continue on to make sure that we are kind of injecting ourselves with
Absolutely.
A new level of faith and boldness in us.
Well, going back to the coffee illustration, the different coffees get their strength. Mm-hmm. They get their flavor from a couple different areas. One is from the ground that the tree was grown in. Mm-hmm. that being is going to be receiving from what ground it is. So one thing right off the bat is, what ground are you planted in?
So
are you planted in church? Are you in a healthy place? Is bold truth being declared from the pulpits? Right. You know, are you grounded in the Word of God? You know, Psalm 1, are you a tree planted by the streams of water that bears forth its fruit in season? Its leaf doesn't wither, and whatever you put your hand to, you prosper, you know, because you're drawing on that. It's a stream of, I always put living water, right? Because we're in New Testament now. Out of his belly will flow streams of living water. Are you grounded in God, in his word, in prayer, in those things? You know, what environment are you in? Because you're going to draw from that, and that's going to produce the fruit that comes out of your life. Are you walking in the Spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. The second area that the coffee gets its flavor is the roast. When heat is applied, how is it going to change the flavor that comes out of you? And so I would be mindful of what sort of heat, what sort of pressure, what sort of things are coming out of my life, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of, you know, response do I have to pressure? Be mindful of that. If someone's ugly online, are you ugly back? If someone's rude to you on the freeway or in, you know, passing or that sort of a thing, how do you respond to that heat and pressure? If you are having persecution, because there are people who are persecuted for their faith, it may not look like it does in other lands.
Yeah.
It does happen here, though.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're persecuted for your faith, what comes out of you? What is the flavor that you produce when that heat is applied? And then the last, you know, is obviously the process. We talk about all the chemistry that's going on.
Yeah.
It's very intentional, right? The grind of the beans is intentional. The type of filter that's used for that grind.
Yeah.
The type of water that's used will affect the flavor. Like if you've got bad tasting water, you're gonna have a bad tasting brew. If you've got good filtered water and, you know, some guys like the alkaline and the pH and all that works with the acidity of the coffee and things like that to balance the flavor. Mm-hmm. All that, the milk and the sugar and, you know, is it oat milk? Is it almond milk?
Yeah.
Is it milk? Is it, you know? Just don't use goat. Come on. But here's the deal is that all those factors, how intentional are we?
That's good.
With the flavors that are coming out of our lives. Mm-hmm. How bold do we want to be?
Yep.
Right? Where is it appropriate to be that bold? There, like we said, the environmental factors, there are some people who like a bold roast, some people who a subtle flavor is good for them. They like more of the smooth blends and things like that, and different notes that are coming out of it. Are your notes, the things that are coming out of you, pleasing to people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they may not like strawberry and tangerine together. You know, they may not like hibiscus.
Yeah.
They might like
rich,
nutty flavor, you know, and they might like that chocolate flavor. So what are you producing, and how, in this environment with these people, it might be different with your family than it is on the job. It might be different in the community or as a coach for the Little League team than it is when you're at the senior center. Or, you know, there might be different flavors that need to come out at different times. That's where the Apostle Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I might win some, right? He knew intentionally how bold he was going to be, where he was going to emphasize, and what he was going to do in order to reach the people that he was reaching.
Yeah.
We need to think about those things too and live appropriately.
Yeah.
You like the coffee illustration? That was on the fly.
On that analogy,
man. That must be the Holy Ghost.
No, that was awesome. Fun. Like you were gonna squeeze every last drop.
Come I'm on, gonna get
that is
the
but
cup.
It works
no,
so
I'm kidding.
Well.
I'm kidding.
I mean, so well though, man. Well, thank you, Pastor Dan. I pray that you guys are encouraged. I know I'm feeling bolder just being in here, and it's not the coffee; it's the Holy Ghost. And so we're so pumped for you guys. Hey, like, comment, subscribe, share. We've had, you know, some people, as we shared some of the podcasts, I know more people get encouraged, more people get get emboldened. And so we love that. We love you guys. We pray for you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time.